As the dust plumes on the plane grew closer, Lilu could just make out tiny dark shapes at their bases, and her heart leapt. They became more and more distinct until she could see the gaily painted wags racing with strings of bright pennants whipping from their radio masts.
The Carney's here! The Carney's here!
Every man, woman, and child dropped whatever they were doing and rushed to the Ville's entrance, forming a dense double line, a gauntlet of well-armed Bullardville welcome. The 15-wag caravan slowed to a crawl as it approached the defensive berm. Lilu saw that some of the wags were towing big, tarp-covered cages on flatbed trailers. As the dust clouds drifted away to the south, with the convoy slowly advancing, men began to jump out of the wags. They threw back the tarps covering the trailered cages, revealing the collection of creatures within. It was more wonderful than Lilu's wildest imaginings. Within the first cage lurked a two-headed scaly. One head was normal-sized, the other looked like a baby's. The next trailer cage held a gaggle of stickies, naked but for plastic collars and bright colors, like open flower petals. They showed their needle teeth and dilated their flat nostril holes as they took in the scent of the Ville. Another cage contained a huge, muty mountain lion. Its scythe-shaped horns jutted on either side of its neck. On the trailer behind the beast was the biggest desert rattler Lilu had ever seen. The thing was maybe 10 feet long, and its body was as big around as the girl's waist. Its flat, triangular-shaped head was even wider, and the mouth could have easily swallowed two Lilu's whole. There were lizard birds with leathery wings and fangs so sharp they scored the cage's steel bars. The girl turned her attention to the carny folk walking alongside the trailers. The men wore slit masks over their eyes. Their leather jerkins and shorts exposed bulging arms and legs. They all carried bullwhips, which they smacked against the cage's bars, making the muty creatures howl in complaint.
I love it!
The carny women were long-legged, their faces and heads concealed by brightly sequined hoods. But for thigh-high, high-heeled boots and a tracery of string over their privates, they were naked. The women also used whips to stir up the rolling menagerie. Once inside the berm, the caravan circled twice, then it stopped. A tall, muscular man in a worn red satin tailcoat and tight white pants tucked into hard-used black riding boots climbed out of the largest wag. On one hip, he wore a holstered blue steel .45 government Colt blaster. On the other, he carried a coiled black bullwhip. His short, wiry hair was a rusty red, as was his 6-inch-long goatee. A jagged, ringed scar marked the left side of his face. As he walked toward Melchior and Skim O'Neill, a tiny sticky, not more than 4 years old, trotted along at his left heel. It was naked and barefoot, and there were bruises all over its pale body. Around its neck was a choke chain collar that wasn't tethered to a leash.
Welcome to Bullardville. A pleasure to have Gert Wolfram and his famous troop as our guests.
I speak for my entire company when I say we are most honored to have the opportunity to entertain you.
The young Sticky, eyes as dead as black stones, sniffed through the two holes in its face, taking the measure of the overweight Melchior. The baby mutie began drooling copiously.
What the...
Melchior's right hand quickly reached for his shoulder-holstered Ruger Single Six.
Oh, don't worry about Jackson.
The carny master stroked the creature's hairless skull.
Unless you corner the little tyke, he's not the least bit dangerous.
When's the show gonna start?
It takes us a while to stake out and set up the main tent, and I'm afraid it's already too late in the day to get started. With your permission, we'll set up camp inside the berm tonight, then start raising the tent tomorrow morning. That'll give my people a chance to rest up, too. They need a break before they perform. We've been on the road 3 days getting here.
Lilu was crushed to hear this. She wasn't alone.
Couldn't you give us a little taste of what's to come? We've all been waiting for this day for weeks and weeks.
Wolfram scratched his red beard, briefly considering what taste he might offer.
All right. I'll give you fine folks a preview of what's in store for tomorrow. But I warn you now, once you see it, you won't sleep a wink tonight.
I think we can handle it.
All right, then. Jackson, sing.
A fucking sticky? Sing?
The villagers blinked at one another in amazement. It was common knowledge that the mouthparts of stickies were so primitive, so unevolved, that most could barely make mewling noises, let alone make music.
You'll see.
Holy shit.
Grazia plena.
Most of the folks in the crowd closed their eyes and simply listened. Soon, there were tears in the eyes of men and women alike. The carny master patted the little sticky on the head, and it nuzzled its cheek against the side of his riding boot, leaving behind a shiny smear of saliva. A beaming Melchior pointed out a likely spot for the company to spend the night. Wolfram thanked him, then returned with Jackson to the biggest wag, which pulled out a file to lead the convoy to the campsite. The wags and trailers rolled forward. Dust boiled up from their tires, swirling in thick yellow clouds through the open gate. Out of the corner of her eye, Lilu caught more movement on the plain. Shadowy figures advanced through the man-made dust storm, making for Bullard's entrance. They were hard to see with all the dust and the sunlight slanting hard behind them. She counted 7.
Carny stragglers?
But when they stepped out of the cloud, the girl knew at once they were not carny folk. They were hunters. The man in the lead carried a scoped long blaster on a shoulder sling. He was tall, with dark hair falling to his broad shoulders. A black patch concealed his left eye. As he came closer, she noticed the color of the other eye. It made her think of a cloudless morning sky. Infinite blue. Infinite cold.